World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It is time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with the Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning out there today, folks, boys and girls, men and women, spies, God haters, Christ lovers. Welcome to Pass the Salt here this morning with Coach Dave, CoachDaveLive.com. Appreciate you joining us. It's the 18th of November, 2017, and as always, pray the Lord's not making another one. But let us do what the scriptures say. Let us run with patience today the race is set before us. With Christ as the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's do that. It's a marathon run. This is not a sprint. This is not, it's not just a jog around the corner. Remember, the Bible says that he who endures to the end shall be saved. Not just he who gets saved, and not he who just walks down an aisle and says a prayer, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. It's the 14th. Did I say something wrong there, Sarge? Sarge just sent me a message. It's the 14th. He who endures to the end shall be saved. And I know about you guys, I'm in for the long haul. I don't know what that long haul means. It could mean different things to different people. I was pondering the fact that we were in church on Sunday and they were getting ready to sing a song, and the songstress, the lady who's getting ready to play the piano, she made a statement. She says, you know, we have to look at our lives on the long haul here. We can't look at just what's going on just today. And she said, you know, there's not a one of us in here that's going to be alive 100 years from now. And, you know, boom, a ding, ding, ding went off my head. Something that happens to me all the time. I said, you know what? I didn't say this. I was thinking, that's not true. That's not true. There are probably some people sitting in this room that are still going to be alive 100 years from now. Little babies, maybe 2-year-old, 3-year-old kids. Who knows what's going to happen with longevity and extending life and what that's going to be like. And we live so much in the, it's part of our problem, actually. I think it's the problem that most people deal with. That when I went to Thomas Worthington and Worthington Kilbourne last week, I tried to help people understand this. And I'm talking to us now. The world didn't begin the day you were born. You were born into a country that was already here with a set of rules and regulations that the people before us who came before us felt was important to put into place for establishment of our government. And here's another thing that's going to shock you just as much as well. Christianity was here before you got here, before you and I showed up. Christianity was here before I got saved. Christianity was here before Kenneth Copeland ever came along. Christianity was here before Billy Graham was ever here. Christianity goes back a long, long time. And most of us frame every argument we make, into the time in which we live. That's why our nation is disintegrated. Because we framed everything in the time in which we live rather than looking over our shoulder. And, you know, the kids at Thomas Worthington, they were shocked. Yeah, guys, right now, if you go to a 17-year-old kid, it's like when I was growing up. You got a 17-year-old kid and you mention something, say 1973 or 1971. Do you have any idea how long ago they think that is? That was like when I was born in 1952. And as I got into the 60s, I would hear my parents say something about something that happened in 1936. And I, you know, you stop and think about it. That was the prime of their life. My dad was born in 1919. So in 1936, he was 17, 18 years old. He was like a senior in high school in 1936, and he would mention 1936, and I would think, God, that is so long ago. That is such ancient history. And so I walk into Thomas Worthington High School, Worthington Kilbourne High School, and I tell the kids, I said, you know that up in 1973, you couldn't murder a baby? It was illegal to murder a baby. To them, that's ancient history. And they don't see any relevance in their lives to 1973, but I do. I was alive in 1973. And I know what was going on in 1973, and I see where we are in 2017. And I see that we're in the mess that we are because we are totally living in the now. We are constantly adjusting. Now, I'm not saying some adjustments and some reformations aren't bad. Because certainly they're good, but we've lost all of our mooring. We've lost all of our mooring. That's where I want to try to take some of us here this morning. It might be a little bit different show than normal. I look at it. How many we got in there? We're filling up good. We got 21. Still got room for about four more of you. I see some new faces that are joining us today. And if you're watching right now, you can be one of those new faces. All you have to do is go to CoachDaveLive.com. Says it right there on the right side. Join the huddle. Just click on that thing. And you got a camera and you got a microphone. You can come in and join. Now, if you want to join the huddle just to listen, that's one thing. You can watch it on YouTube. You can watch it on Facebook. You can listen to it a lot of different places. We would like you to come on and be an active participant in what's going on here inside the huddle. Let me throw out a few things here real quickly before I really really dive in deeply to it. Jared, let's go to stuff. You don't have to put it. Yeah, Jared, click on the first one that says Delta, Utah. I just heard over the internet, got contacted by a radio station in Delta, Utah. Jared, get that up there for us if you can. They're going to start carrying Past Assault. How about that? A terrestrial radio station in Delta, Utah has picked up a KYAH 540 AM. I don't know when they're going to stream it. I don't know. Probably not streaming it live because what it would be, what time is it out there? It's 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock. Hope they don't stream it live. But they're going to continue to play it, picking it up. Even began today. Could even be the first day. Jared, go back up the top of your scrolling down. I want everybody to see this. The coverage area, Jared. Click on the coverage area. It's kind of exciting to me. This is the coverage area of the radio station. And if you see just up there to the up about 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock on the, you see Salt Lake City. So our program is now being heard in Salt Lake City, Utah. How about that? On terrestrial radio. Now, I don't know, I don't know anything about the station, but welcome to those listeners out there in Utah. Welcome to Past Assault with Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer, CoachDaveLive.com, and give a tip of the cap to those out there who've picked us up. So that's good. Hey, Jared, then if you can, Jared, can you pull the T-shirt up real quick? Bear with me, guys. Got to do a little bit of house cleaning here. Going to be in Texas this weekend. Going down there with Chad. Hey, Chad, talk to us a little bit about what's going on down there in Texas. Hey, Chad, are you coming in here or are you sleeping on me?
I'm sorry, buddy. I'm with you. I heard the interruption.
Why are you about 7 days behind me? Every time I call your name, why are you about 7 days late? What's going on there, man?
Well, I think it's better than being 10 days,
Mark. Okay, not much better, but okay.
All right. Hey, well, there's a little delay, okay? I have to unmute my phone anyway. Okay, well, so we've got an action-packed, exciting weekend packed full of knowledge and experience and food. So and then we just need people now to fulfill that weekend. So we're looking forward to it. 7 p.m. kickoff on Friday night. We're gonna have a cookout, cook some burgers. Coach will be there, and if you can make it, then please come. If you can just only attend one day, it's fine. You don't have to attend all 3 days. We just want to make it worthwhile because some folks are driving 5-6 hours, so we want to extend the weekend as far as possible. And as far as hotel lodging and all that stuff, all that's on Coach Dave's side. Sarge has done a great job keeping that maintained on there. And on, as far as our itineraries on there, everything we're going to do, we're going to ask everyone that's going to come that it's in a vehicle that's driving. If you have a shotgun, please bring that because I'll be doing some skeet shooting and stuff like that. If you don't know how to do it, that's a great time to learn.
Okay, Chad, awesome. And hey, Chad, it's just not me and you and Josh. You got a good crew signed up, don't you, Josh or Chad?
Yeah, we've got a great crew. I've got 29 now so far, maybe more coming. It's really exciting. Each time we're growing a little bit more each time. So I know that 28 or 29 may not sound like a lot to people out there, but I started with 6.
No, brother, it started with 2. We started with you and your wife, and then Glenn and Corinne showed up. We started with 2.
That's so, right. Amen.
And I say that's grown because you've been faithful to make it happen. So that's this weekend. Jared's got up there on the screen for us, folks, the brigade wear. That's what we call it. But there's a new T-shirt. Protect the Flock with a Glock T-shirt. We released that yesterday on Facebook and a couple other venues, and then found out that our page wasn't working. So if you tried to get in to get a shirt yesterday, we weren't able to get it. So Jared's got that all up and running for us today. So help us with that project a little bit. We don't know how that's going to come out. What else, Coach, before I get going here, before I really dive in? Okay. I'm ready. Anybody got anything for the good of the group here? It's 10 minutes after. A little bit of opening there. Sarge, anything that you might want to throw out or anything at all?
Anybody? We're supporting Sean Hannity, man. They're still trying to get him off.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. My goodness. It is amazing, isn't it? They're relentless. Go ahead, Larry.
I just wanted to say that this is a message to all those senators that said that they're going to throw Roy Moore out if he does get elected. I just want to tell them, if you claim yourself to be a Christian, let those of you who are without sin cast the first stone.
Mm-hmm. Well, Larry, I don't care if they claim to be Christian. It's funny because that's one of the things I want to talk about this morning. Try to open your eyes to something that I don't know. What was it Bobby Kennedy said? Some men see things as they are and ask why. And I see things as they are and ask why not, or something along those lines. I have to admit to you, I see things kind of cockeyed sometimes. And it's often, hey, by the way, I heard yesterday, I just got the message this morning. Brother Ante, I'm going to give you a call. You know, I was complaining yesterday about nobody will have me come and speak at their church. And I heard from Ante, he said, you can come and speak at ours. So I'll get hold of Ante. Just wanted you to know, Ante, if you're listening this morning, appreciate you listening. Appreciate all you do. I'm going to give you a call later on together today here. Okay. Hey, all right. Here's what. Yes.
I'm going to let the cat out of the bag and just let everyone know. We're tentatively planning a big event on the weekend of April 20th through 22nd in the Canton, Akron, Ohio area. More details to follow. I'll be talking to Coach later today about it. And it's going to be a big venue where we have some hard-hitting speakers to include Coach. And mark your calendars. We'll give you more details as we have them.
Well, we can let a little bit of the cat out of the bag. Rush Dizdar has agreed to come. Pastor Paul Begley has agreed to come. Pastor Mike Spalding has agreed to come. And we've reached out, haven't heard back yet from the Hagman boys and also Tim Alberino and some others. We're going to expand. The place holds 350 people, so this isn't going to be some little podunk thing. But that's the weekend of April 2021-22. Yeah, I never thought about that, Chris. Maybe Matt Truella. See, guys, how do I say this? In a way that makes sense. I paddle in several different swamps. I swim in several different ponds. Maybe that would be a better way to do it. I have my, I have the tinfoil hat pond I swim in. And then I have the American government pond that I swim in. And then I have the mainstream Christian pond that I swim in. And then I have the government pond. You understand what I'm saying? So I know a lot of great teachers that we could bring. We have to make sure that there's continuity to what we're trying to do. And one of the things that we're with this thing with this event we're going to call, I suggested to Sarge. I don't know that. I suggested to Sarge, Occupy Till I Return as the theme of it. Because I love these events. I do. But I look for action. I'm looking for action. We've got to take what we know. We've got to apply it. I thought about having Usama Dakdok, but does he fit in with the Nephilim? I thought about having Matt Truella. Does he fit in? So it's, you know, guys, this ain't as easy as you think to be able to try to pull all this together with people who are really, in a lot of ways, as I said, the brain's running a different direction. Not that it's wrong, but they're coming from a different perspective. So we're going to trust the Lord to be able to put this thing together. Okay. Cool. Well, let me dive in here real quick. We spoke a lot about Judge Moore yesterday, and I want to unpack something else for you today. You know, he came out, another lady came out yesterday, and it's the drip, 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 drip effect. A couple things I want you to know about what's going on with Judge Roy Moore. Number one, they hate him. I'm going to show you why here in a second. They hate him. We know really why. But number two, they want to make sure that no Christian ever runs for office. They don't want any Christians running for office. And so the message that they're clearly sending out is if you think you're going to run for office as a Christian, you got another thing coming. Because we're going to turn the hounds of hell loose on you, and we're going to investigate every nook and cranny of your life. And I don't care who you are. I'm talking about me. They go back 30 years of my life. They'll find some stuff I'm not proud of, and they'll dig it out. So if I were to ever run for public office, I did once in 2010. If I were ever to run for Congress again, I better be buckled in, because it will be an autopsy on a live body like we've never seen. We saw Donald Trump go through it. We now see it, that Judge Roy Moore is going through it. They're now trying to bring down Sean Hannity. Folks, these are the other side plays for keeps. Here's the difference. They play for keeps. We play to get people saved. We mix it. We mix. We're going to have to decide whether we're at war or not. We always want to get our opponent, our enemy, saved. What we always want to do. Well, when you go into battle, if I'm coaching a football team and they go in and they don't want to tackle the other guy, I promise you we're not going to win. We can go out there and we can look like we're playing, but if we refuse to tackle and block and smack somebody, we're not going to win. And Christians, for whatever reason, have laid down the weapon of war. Christians just want to pray. That Christians just want to fight with prayer. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity thoughts to the obedience of Christ. Well, how do you, as we read yesterday, folks, Christianity is an action faith. It's an action faith. And why is it we think the only action we're allowed to take is prayer? That's the only action we are allowed to take on our opponent. That's how we got in the mess that we're in. I'm in Hebrews 11 today. I want you all to join me there if you can. Just thank you, Lord. Just popped into my brain. Boy, my Bible's falling apart. Man, Lord, let this thing stay together for me here, will you? I'm dead, my wife can auction this off about $12. I got some good stuff in here. Jared's pulling up. Hebrews 11. Are you with us, Joe? Because we talked about courage yesterday, didn't we? Talk about courage. The most noble form of courage is moral courage, and that's the one that we have the least of. And they call this the faith chapter, the Faith Hall of Fame. But Joe, are you there, Joe? I think maybe I saw him drop off. I don't know if he came back in or not. He's not in there. Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. Silverman, are you there? Might be having some issues. I want you to go with me then. Joe, if you're able to get in and say so. But I want us to go to Hebrews.
Yes.
There he is. There you are. Hey, Joe. Jared, pull up on there.
Go.
The entire Faith Hall of Fame is really worth the read. But I want you to – I hear you. I hear him. I want you to turn – I want us to turn to verse 32 of Hebrews 11. Now, guys, this is our Christian heritage. This is your Christian DNA.
Okay.
See what you mean, Coach? Well, this is what got us here. This type of Christianity is what got us here. Even though maybe at that time they didn't call it Christianity, they called it something else. The history of the faith is how we got it. How I got here in 2017, sitting in front of this camera, is because of what happened here in Hebrews 11. And I'm going to have Silver read this to us. Slowly, I want us to ponder it. And here's what I want you to do, if you want to, in your Bible, underline action. Underline every time somebody does something here. Well, we could go back to the beginning of Hebrews 11. We could do that. But I'm going to start right here in verse 32. Are you ready there, Silverman? Can you do that for us? Are you there, Joe? I think we're having some communication problems, Joe. Because it looks to me, look, his microphone's open. But I'm not hearing you, Silver. We're not hearing you. So I'm going to. There you are.
All right.
There you are. There you are. 32. Get going before we lose you. Okay, he's not doing it. I'm going to do it. Here we go.
Microphone, you guys got your... is too low. All right.
Now try it. Hey, Joe, I'm putting you on probation. Go. I'm putting you and Chad on probation. This is a live show. This is a show in Utah. They're listening to us right now. Putting you on probation. 32, go.
We're simulcasting across and the world, too.
No, you're breaking up. I'm going to have to. And what shall.
Radio in.
And what shall I more say?
Say.
Jared, mute him, Jared. He's not hearing me. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel and of the prophets. He didn't even tell us about these guys, okay? We think this was written by Paul, but we're not sure. He said, well, I'm not going to talk about those guys. Watch this. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, action, wrought righteousness, action, obtained promises, action, stopped the mouths of lions, action, quenched the violence of fire, action, escaped the edge of the sword, action, out of weakness were made strong, action, waxed valiant in fight, action, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, action, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, action, not accepting deliverance, action, that they might attain a better erection, a resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings, action, and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment, actions. They were stoned, action. They were sewn in half, action. They were tempted, action. Were slain with a sword, action. They wandered about in sheepskin and goats, action. Being destitute, afflicted, torment, actions. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, actions. And in mountains, actions. And in dens, and actions. And in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. In other words, they did their job. They're waiting for us to do ours. That's the Faith Hall of Fame.
Amen. I'm hoping.
Right. Hey, now,
I'm going to bust a bubble here. I'm going to bust a bubble. Every time you say the word action, think of the words works.
Works. Oh, careful.
Ooh.
Careful. You shall know them by their works. Fruit. Fruit is works. Shall know them by their fruit, by their works, right? And we are in a workless American Christianity. We're in a work. There are no works. Everybody's on strike. Everybody's on welfare. There are no works. And we are here today. Why? Hey, Jared, go to Hebrews 12:1. Go to Hebrews. Just continue. Remember, there's no chapter break. Just go to the next verse. Just, and what's it say? Telling us about all those guys, and it says, look, we're encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight, action, and the sin which does so easily beset us, action, and let us run, action, with patience, the race, action that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, action, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, action, despising the shame, action, and is sat down, action, at the right hand of God. For consider him that endureth action, such contradictions of sinners against himself. Yes, he be wearied and faint your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood struggling. I'm going to stop right there. How do we get a Christianity that's just a picture? It's just a still frame. When our entire faith, these guys mowed the grass. These guys cut down the trees. These guys laid the concrete. These guys painted the blacktop. These guys cut the path for where we are today, and why do we think that our faith now has no action to it? And then all of our actions self-centered, pray. We're going to pray about it, brother. Going to share the gospel with them. Well, these guys rocked kingdoms. What's it say? These guys tore down kingdoms. Did they tear them down through prayer? No, they prayed and then they went. They prayed and they tore them down. They prayed for faith and prayed for strength and they prayed for favor and they prayed for obedience and they went and did what they prayed for. Lord, move that mountain. He says, dudes, go. That mountain will be removed. It will. You don't doubt in your heart. Go get a man. Go get a shovel and move that mountain. We think we just pray. The mountain moves. Come on in here, boys.
There is no action without reaction, brother.
No action without reaction. In other words, they make a move, I make a move. I was teaching Reese, my granddaughter, how to play checkers the other night. Almost forgot how to do it. And I was trying to teach her action and reaction. And trying to teach her, if you go here, what all can happen if you make that move? It's really good to strategize. It's really, really good for young kids. They probably don't even know how to play checkers.
Without action, reaction's pretty easy to figure out. Nothing happens without action.
That's well, without reaction, brother, without action, they're gonna bury you right in your bed. That's what they're gonna do. Believe it or not. Oh, you may go to heaven. Yeah, you may go to heaven. That's right. Okay. Hey, so
you know what they're trying to do, brother? They're trying to conflate the actual actions of Harvey Weinstein, Louis C.K., and all these other freaks with the non-action of Judge Roy Moore, of Donald
Words.
Trump.
Words.
Donald Trump to call him because of the grabbing thing, calling him a serial rapist like Harvey Weinstein actually is.
Well, I told you that when we set him up. Yes, Jared, go to my Facebook page real quickly. I want to show you guys something. I posted this out yesterday after the new lady comes forward and makes it. Now he's a rapist. by the way, I got several things I want to show you here. I'm sorry, Jared. My brain's going a million miles an hour. I'm just trying to keep up with me, okay? I wish somebody could do this. Right here it is, Jared. This is what I wrote at Facebook yesterday. Donald Trump could make the political play of the century. If he came out right now and supported Judge Moore, he could simply state, as one who has been a victim of dirty politics and false accusations, I believe Judge Moore is innocent until proven guilty. I stand with the citizens of Alabama who have the intelligence to make the right decision on a man they have trusted for 30 years. Boom! Is he going to do that? Because that would be poking Mitch McConnell in the eye, be poking all those guys in the eye if Trump were to simply say that. Because everybody knows what they did to Trump. Hey, Don, hey Donald. Hey, the Donald. Connect to Judge Moore, brother. Connect to him. It'll help you. It'll help him. Connect to him. I don't know if he will. I don't know if his advisors will. Okay, hey, yep.
Make the swamp drain bigger, too.
It'll totally disarm McCain and all those guys. Yeah, go ahead, Vince.
Yeah, no, I made a hashtag because I was watching Hannity and Tucker yesterday. When the idiot McConnell says that, oh, if Roy Moore gets in, I'm going to expel him. No, we should expel McConnell. So I made a hashtag, expel McConnell.
That'd be a good one.
Yes.
That'd be a good one. Okay, so stay with me here. Okay, I'm going someplace. Bear with me here a second. Jared, let's pull up. This is a separate email I sent you, Jared. Pull up, no, where is it? 19 senators. It says 19 senators, Jared. Okay. Takes Jared a little time, because I told you yesterday, guys, I'm going to do the ultimate tinfoil hat dot connection for you here today that I know nobody's picking up but me, I think. And so here we're going to see the list of now 19 Republican senators. I'm going to say this again real slowly. 19 Republican senators. 19 Republican senators. See, they could not be doing this to Judge Moore without the approval of the Republican Party. All the Republican Party has to do is stand up and say, listen, we're 100% supportive of Judge Moore. And if he's innocent until somebody proves otherwise, and we're going to stand in support of him and the people of Alabama. But they're not. There they are. Let this sink in. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. John McCain, Mitch McConnell. When I read these names, you put Roy Moore's character beside them. Go back to the Roy Moore 3 months ago before all this other stuff starts coming up. Go to the Roy Moore 3 months ago and ask, who do you believe more? Let's see, John McCain or Roy Moore? Mitch McConnell, Roy Moore. John Cornyn, Roy Moore. Ted Cruz, I'm going to jump on that one in a second. Gary Gardner or Roy Moore? Susan Collins or Roy Moore? Jeff Flake or Roy Moore? Mike Lee or Roy Moore? Lisa Murkowski, David Perdue, Rob Portman, who was the first U.S. Republican senator to come out and support a homo marriage because his son's a homo. Jim Risch, Senator Mike Rounds, haven't even heard of some of these. Marco Rubio, Ben Sasse, Tim Scott, Richard Shelby, Tom Tillis, Senator Pat Toomey, 19 currently serving Republican senators have come out publicly asking Roy Moore to step down.
Coach Dave?
Yes.
I would like to reread the list for you.
Okay.
Some people are listening and they do not even know who their senators are, but they know where they live. Senator John McCain of Arizona, Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, Senator John Cornyn of Texas, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas,
both Texans,
Senator Cory Gardner of Colorado, Senator Susan Collins of Maine, Senator Jeff Flake of Arizona, Senator Mike Lee of Utah, Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Senator David Perdue of Georgia, Senator Rob Portman of Ohio, Senator Jim Risch of Idaho, Senator Mike Rounds of South Dakota, Senator Mark Rubio of Florida, Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska, Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, Senator Richard Shelby of Alabama, Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina, and Senator Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania.
19 Republican senators, including Richard Shelby, who's from the same state as Judge Moore. It's to me is amazing. Now, I'm going to connect the dot for you. Okay. I'm going to connect the dot. And hey, Jared, see, Vince said all rhinos, but not Ted Cruz. I'm going to connect the dot for you. Okay. Not Mike Lee. Mike Lee was supposed to be one of the good guys. Yeah. What's going on? Get out of here, Opie. You want to be on TV again? All right. There's Opie, everybody. That Opie. Now go. Leave me alone. Get out of here.
Tim Scott got in being a good guy. It took about 3 weeks for him to turn him.
Right. Yep. Hey, look, there's some good guys on there. Rubio. Huh? But hang on. I'm going to take you somewhere. Just trust me here a second. Well, Anthony Forrest says 19 Republican hijackers. Yeah. Now they're saying they won't even let him serve if he gets elected. Hey, Jared, do me a favor, bud. Pull up, go back to the original stuff I sent you, Jared. All the things says stuff. And then, Jared, pull up the third thing down on Breitbart. It says right under T-shirt. Pull that up. Here's why they're panicking, guys. Roy Moore is still up 10 points in an Emerson College poll conducted after the Washington Post story broke. So everything that they tried to do to Trump, they're trying to do to Judge Roy Moore. Why? Because Judge Roy Moore is a man of God, and we talked about that yesterday, but he's still up 10 points. This was taken on Sunday. And so they bring out another lady, said, well, Jiminy, having contact with an underage girl, that wasn't good enough. Well, let's get one out that'll cry rape. Let's get one out here that'll cry rape. We got any back there that'll cry rape? And then someone comes out and cries rape, and Mitch McConnell says, oh, that's it. He's got to go. He's got to go. So I put tongue in cheek and said yesterday, I wish somebody would accuse some woman somewhere If she, some woman in Kentucky come out and accuse Mitch McConnell of doing something, he'd have to be gone, wouldn't he? Wouldn't he have to be gone? Somebody come out and accuse Marco Rubio of doing something, he'd have to be gone, wouldn't he? According to their standard. According to their standard. See, guys, please don't miss this. This ain't the Democrats. It ain't. This is the Republicans. The Republican swamp is killing Judge Moore, not the Democrats. Oh, they blame the Democrats for releasing. Remember I told you yesterday how they set the whole thing up? So I got wondering today, Ted Cruz. What, Ted Cruz? You ready? You sitting down? Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz. Wow, Ted Cruz, huh? Hey, folks, listen. Everybody in Washington, D.C. This is, I'm digging up bones here, okay? I'm going to dig up some bones. Exhuming things that are better left alone. I'm resurrecting memories of a love that's dead and gone. Tonight I'm sitting around digging up bones. So here's a bone. The entire Washington swamp knows Barack Hussein Obama was not a natural born American citizen. They all know it. They all know it. The courts have been compromised. Everywhere you look, you try to, for eight years, we tried to get people to look at it. Sheriff Joe Arpaio, Mike Zulu, they had all the evidence. Nobody would look at the evidence. Mike Zulu, who was who ran the investigation out there regarding Hussein Obama's birth certificate, he couldn't get one congressman to look at it. Not one of them would look at it. Why wouldn't they take it up and look at it? Well, because if the truth were ever to come out, we would find out very, very early in this whole thing that everybody knew that he wasn't a natural born citizen. Now, I'm not going to get into the debate about the birth. It ain't even about that. It ain't even about that. But let me tell you this. Ted Cruz isn't a natural born citizen either. Now, let that sink in. Ted Cruz is not a natural born citizen. Now, I wonder if Ted Cruz has any more presidential aspirations. Oh, I bet you didn't know this. I'm sorry. Well, Jared, let's show him here. Jared, let's go down to where it says Moore and Obama. I bet you guys didn't know this, did you? Can I connect the dot to you? What would make Ted Cruz turn against, with all the dirty politics that were played on Ted Cruz, what would make him turn on Judge Roy Moore? Well, wouldn't you know it? Breaking. This is, goes back 3/21/2014. Breaking. Judge rules on Obama eligibility. By majority vote of 7-2, the high court in Alabama said that ruling on whether or not he could be on the ballot. Now look at this. Look at this. Can you read with me here a second? Connecting the dot. One of the last remaining court battles over Barack Obama's presidential eligibility has gone down in flames in a 7-2 decision by the Alabama Supreme Court to render no opinion. They didn't render opinion. Watch out. Watch. Watch. However, the dissenting minority of Justice Tom Parker and Chief Justice Roy Moore concluded the case has a serious constitutional significance, warning an investigation of the qualifications of 2012 presidential candidates by Alabama's Secretary of State. Moore wrote in his dissent that the circuit court should have granted the plaintiff's request to order the Secretary of State to implement the natural born citizen requirement of the presidential qualifications clause in future elections. Moore said, although the removal of a president-elect or a president who has taken the oath of office is within the breast of Congress, the determination of the eligibility of the 2012 presidential candidates before the casting of the election votes is a state function, Moore said. He said the case was of great constitutional significance in regard to the highest office of the land. And he went on to say, should he who was elected to the presidency to be determined to be ineligible, the remedy of impeachment is available through the United States Congress, and the plaintiffs in this case can pursue this remedy through their representatives in Congress. Really? Now, I don't know if you know this or not. Ted Cruz was born in Canada. No debate to it. Absolutely no debate. Ted Cruz was born in Canada to an American mother who was living in Canada and a non-American father. His birth certificate, Ted Cruz's birth certificate, is a Canadian birth certificate. Up until 2014, Ted Cruz had dual citizenship. He was a Canadian citizen and an American citizen. Now, that would be all well and good, but buckle in, because just like the Bible, a lot of people don't like what the Bible says. They don't like what the Bible says. So I'm trying to screw up here. What do we do when we don't like what the Bible says? Can somebody help me here? What do we do when we don't like what the Bible says?
We change the word.
We change it. And so we don't like what the Bible says, so we change it. What happens if we don't like what the Constitution says? Well, we get a judge to give us a different version. Don't no longer have an authorized version. We now have a court opinion, right? Are you sitting down? Hey, Jared, pull up for us. Where is it? The natural, is that what, I make sure I get the right one. Yeah, it says the natural born. This is a brief video. I want you to listen to this. This is a brief video by Herb Titus, one of America's greatest constitutional scholars. Get past the first 30 seconds of this, Jared, because it's just the American view. And I want you to listen. Man, words mean things. You say, Coach, where are we going back on this thing? Because, guys, this is critical, Steve. This is critical. Judge Roy Moore is an originalist. He's originalist in the Bible, and he's originalist in the Constitution. And Judge Moore said, there's a problem with Ted Cruz's eligibility here. That I really like the guy, but, man, we got an issue here. Now, you're going to hear something from Herb Titus that I'm telling you, and all of this argument you never heard before. You ready? Go ahead and play it, Jared.
A natural-born citizen. That's not true. That only makes him a citizen by birth. And there's a distinction between the two terms. A citizen by birth is a person who becomes a citizen because he was born in the geographical limits of the United States. And he was here lawfully, or his parents were here lawfully, and therefore, by birth, he's a citizen. Now, that's because in the first sentence of the 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution, it states specifically that a person who is born in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof is a citizen. Now, most people think that's a definition of a natural-born citizen, but people forget that that was put into the Constitution not for the purpose of defining what a natural-born citizen is as it applies to the President of the United States, but it was placed in the Constitution for the specific purpose of declaring that people who were part of the newly freed slave class were citizens of the United States and of the state in which they resided, because the United States Supreme Court had ruled in the Dred Scott case that a person who had been brought over to the United States against his will could never become a citizen of the United States, much less a citizen of the state.
Hang with me.
So the place of birth that gives rise to citizenship by birth was addressed to the question of what to do with this entirely new group of people who would otherwise be stateless because they couldn't, under the Dred Scott rule, become a citizen having been born in the United States. Now, natural born citizen in relationship to the office of president and whether someone is eligible was in the Constitution from the very beginning. The 14th Amendment definition of citizenship by birth was not addressed at all to the question of one qualification to run for president of the United States. Even the language is different. It talks about a natural born citizen. Well, what is a natural born citizen? Well, another way of putting it is there is a law of the nature of citizenship. If you're a natural born citizen, you are a citizen according to the law of nature, not according to any positive statement in a constitution or in a statute, but because of the very nature of your birth and the very nature of the of nations and your relationship to the nation as a citizen. So what you have to do if you want to find out whether someone's a natural-born citizen is go back and look at what the law of nature would be or would require in order to be a citizen by birth. And that's precisely what a natural-born citizen is one who is born to a father and a mother, each of whom is a citizen of the United States or whatever other country that they're claiming natural-born citizenship in. Now, what we've learned from the Hawaii birth certificate is that Mr. Obama's father was not a citizen of the United States. His mother was, but he doesn't qualify as a natural-born citizen for the office of presidency.
Natural-born. You can natural-born. Just think of that a minute. Natural-born. How are you naturally born? With a mother and a father. Natural-born. See, they've changed. It's like they've rewrote the King James Version. They've changed it, see? So,
hey Dave,
yes.
I got a quick question because I like the video, but here's my question on Judge Moore. Let's assume, just for the purposes of argument, that he liked dating younger women, okay? Let's just assume that. Mm-hmm. I think what bothers me the most is the inability in this situation to come out and to say, I have changed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The testimony, I became a Christian at this age. We all do things that are necessarily stupid when we're young. There seems to be a complete inability on this issue for that to take place.
I agree. And that's what I said, you know. Did he do? Hey, we all did shady stuff 40 years ago.
Did he do shady stuff? I think because he's fearful. I think he's really fearful.
I do too, because he did it, but there's no crime. He hasn't committed any crime.
But
I think he's fearful of announcing his Christianity.
See, in a healthy Christian culture, there are certain things that would not penalize you for the rest of your life. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Some things might get ruled out, but in a healthy Christian culture, the concept of change as I've grown older, as I've matured, as I've come to know Christ, would be allowed on all fronts. But it's not allowed on this front, and it may be the only thing that can save him now is that testimony.
I agree with all that, but listen, fellas, girls, guys, friends, don't miss the significance of what I'm trying to help you to see.
Yeah.
This is the swamp issue. If the senators and the representatives permitted an ineligible man to be president of the United States, it's dereliction of duty for all of them. All of them. If Judge Moore were to get back in there and were to stir back open that whole thing as we get into the Clinton Foundation and all that stuff, all that investigation, if that ever begins to be investigated, and then documents are released. Do you have any idea how many people are going to be implicated in the fact that they knew? They knew.
All of them.
That's the swamp, fellas. That's the swamp. So in this aspect of it, they are all covering their own. Can anybody tell me if you have ever in your life, with the exception of Trump, have you ever seen such an attack come on one individual? For just a Senate seat. Just a Senate seat. In fact, folks, the Republicans don't care if they get a Democrat. They don't want more. They don't care if they get a Democrat. They just don't want more. And we've got to look deeper to motivations, to what would make all 19 of those people, what's going on, that all 19 of those senators would say that this guy's got to resign just because of a 40-year-old accusation. We know better than that, don't we? We know. Rob Portman, my U.S. senator, voted to change the definition of marriage. You tell me that's not a disqualifying thing? And here he is calling for it. Oh, this is wicked, wicked, wicked stuff. Wicked stuff. Wicked stuff.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I think these senators have plunged the sword into their own coffins, and they just haven't realized it yet.
Sarge, I think so, too. Yeah, I think they don't know what alternative. I don't think they know what to do. I didn't tell you this. I'm sorry. I've got to throw one more. Jared, let's throw one more piece of the pie up in here. Sometimes this computer over here shuts off. I want to get mad and hit it. Jared, pull up the one where it says Sessions on it. Sessions. I don't know. This is kind of under the radar. See, Sessions knew. Jeff Sessions knows. About the eligibility. He knows. Come on. Folks, Jeff Sessions knows. He was part of it. Right? Hey, Jared, pull up what Jeff Sessions did yesterday.
Well, he's pulling that up, buddy. They're all worried about what he did 40 years ago. I'm really worried about what they did yesterday or the day before that.
That's the point I'm trying to make, though, Dale. They're all worried about it, too. Look right here. Jeff Sessions. Look at this. This is the first time Sessions considering second special counsel to investigate Republican concerns, letter shows. Now, fellas, he has stonewalled any investigation into the Clinton cabal, and who knows why? Who knows why? But evidently so much heat is coming upon Jeff Sessions. Instead of him writing a letter to the Congress and saying, hey, open up an investigation, he now says you might want to look into it. Right? Fellas, the worm is starting to turn. If they dig down that Clinton rabbit hole, it is going to go to all of this. You understand? You're going to go to all of it. All of this stuff.
I think so, they're already way ahead of it. I think this is just soft disclosure of what they've already done. You wait.
Oh, explain that, Sarge, because I follow that a bit. Explain that.
Indictments are probably already in the courthouses because they've been working this from day one, because they kept the Democrats too busy worrying about Russian collusion, which was basically a disinformation campaign that they started from the very beginning. Trump is so smart, they just don't think they can't. He's playing 12-dimensional chess while they're still playing checkers.
Yeah. Let's pray that that's true. But fellas, this is the whole ball game here. This is what it's about. We got about 5 minutes. Somebody jump in here. Maybe, hey, listen, maybe you think I'm crazy. Maybe you don't think this is important. I think it's extremely important. Remember, we don't follow the letter of the law in the Bible, and we don't follow the letter of the law in the government. They constantly find judges who will rule in their favor. They judge shop. And I think that's a lot of what's going on here. The last thing they want is Judge Moore in the Senate.
How about this, Coach? If you can't beat them, join them. Huh? Is that what they're doing? If you can't beat them, join them.
There's a lot of that going on, I think, Dale. A lot of that's going on.
Yeah, but we can't put up with that, man. We got to get these guys out of office.
We got to do it, man. We got to do it. Jared, let me do one more thing. I only got 6 minutes. Jared, pull up Natural Born there. Natural Born. This is crucial. Well, I'm going to read this to you. Jared, it's in an email I sent all by itself there. I'm sorry, bud. We the people, this is the Heritage Foundation, okay? Now, I'm going to remember what Herb Titus just told us. Natural Born is something that is applied only to the President of the United States. That clause is only applied. Natural Born. Born to American mother and father. Natural Born is only applied to the President of the United States. It's also applied to. It wasn't a term they just casually threw in there. And look what the Heritage Foundation says. I don't want to read about what the law, because we're short on time. Let's read what the interpretation below here. Are you there, Jill? Read that, Jill.
Here we go. Concerning presidential eligibility. The Constitution imposes three eligibility requirements on the presidency, based on the office holder's age, residency, and citizenship, that must be satisfied at the time of taking office. By virtue of the 12th Amendment, the qualifications for vice president are the same. The framers established these qualifications in order to increase the chances of electing a person of patriotism, judgment, and civic virtue.
Wow, keep going.
First, presidents must be 35 years of age or older. In contrast, senators must be at least 30 years old, and representatives no less than 25 years old. As Justice Joseph Story has noted, the character and talent of a man in the middle age of life is fully developed, and he has had the opportunity for public service and for experience in the public councils. Second, the president must have been a resident, quote unquote.
Hey, Joe, we're going to run out of time. Hey, Joe, we're going to run out of time. Go to the next paragraph.
There is some evidence that the framers believed the 14-year residency requirement could be satisfied cumulatively.
Joe, I'm sorry. Go to the next one, Joe. I'm sorry. This is all worth the read, but we're short on time here. The third qualification.
The third qualification to be president is that one must be a quote-unquote natural-born citizen or a citizen at the time of the adoption of the Constitution. Although any citizen may become a member of Congress, so long as he has held citizenship for the requisite period of time to be president, one must be a natural-born citizen. Undivided loyalty to the United States was a prime concern. During the Constitutional Convention, John Jay wrote to George Washington, urging a strong check to the admission of foreigners into the administration of our national government,
Wow. And
to declare expressly that the commander-in-chief of the American Army shall not be given nor devolve on, but a natural-born citizen. Justice Story later noted that the natural-born citizen requirement cuts off all chances for ambitious foreigners who might otherwise be intrigued for the office.
Okay, let's stop right there, Steve. So right at the beginning, they wanted to make sure there was no alliance, no loyalties anywhere else specifically. Think I'm straining a gnat and swallowing a camel? I said 10 years ago, they're going to have to deal with this. This will not go away. And the last thing they want is a guy sitting in the Senate who has the ability to question it when, as a sitting judge on the Supreme Court said, there's some issues here we need to look at. That, to me, that's what's behind it all.
Coach.
That's right. The original 13th Amendment would have stopped all that.
Yes, sir. Yeah, Joe.
I just feel that what you have done through this particular program is you have identified an object of prayer. If we want our nation back,
wow,
that's what it's going to take.
Because amen.
God put the people and the framers together to form this nation, and it's going to be up to His people to take it back.
And Joe, if they'll change the Bible, the words and the meaning of the Bible. And I have no problem at all changing the words and the meaning of the law and of the Constitution. Huh? Let's not be deceived about what's going on here in the good old US of A. God bless you. See you tomorrow.